Dust is something that many of us spend a great deal of time trying to get rid of. We vacuum it, we wipe it, we dust shelves, furniture, and picture frames. We do not like dust because it reminds us of decay, of neglect, and disorder. It settles quietly, almost unnoticed, until suddenly it is everywhere. And no matter how carefully we clean, no matter how thorough our efforts, it always comes back. Today, the church does something strange. Instead of wiping dust away, we place it on our foreheads. We mark ourselves with ashes and hear the sobering words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In doing so, God confronts us with something we would much rather avoid: our mortality, our weakness, and our sin. Ash Wednesday pulls back the curtain and reminds us that beneath all of our accomplishments, titles, responsibilities, and plans, we are still dust. Completely dependent upon God for every breath, every heartbeat, every moment of life. Yet this is not where the story ends. For the same God who once formed Adam from the dust has stepped into the dust himself. This is what we confess in the first verse of our series hymn, "O Love, How Deep." O love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal's sake. For mortal's sake. For us. That simple phrase will guide us through this entire Lenten season. Everything that Jesus does, he does for us. And so today, as we begin this journey, we do so not in despair, but in awe, marveling at a love so great that it enters our dust in order to raise us to life. Lent is a season of self-examination, of repentance, of prayer, of fasting, and of reflection. It is a time when God invites us to look honestly at our lives, at our hearts, at our faith. But that honest look is never easy. Whenever we place ourselves in the light of God's word, we quickly discover how far short we fall. Our selfishness, our impatience, our pride, our bitterness, our fear, our complacency, all of it stands exposed. And every time we compare ourselves with Jesus, we lose. His obedience is perfect. His love is flawless. His faithfulness never wavers. In his presence, our illusions of goodness and righteousness crumble. This is why Ash Wednesday begins with ashes. These ashes do not flatter us. They don't comfort us. They don't lie to us. They tell us the truth. They remind us that sin leads to death, that our bodies are fragile, and that our lives are brief. They strip away our spiritual swagger and silence our excuses. Today, God says simply, remember who you are, dust, and remember what you need. Mercy. In the gospel reading, Jesus warns us not to practice our righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. He speaks of giving, of praying, of fasting, not as spiritual performances, but as quiet acts of faith. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not pray to impress. Do not fast to be admired. Do not give so others will notice. For when righteousness becomes a performance, it ceases to be righteousness at all. It becomes self-glorification. This strikes so close to home because deep down, we want recognition. We want affirmation. We want someone to notice our efforts. We want credit. Even in the church, even in our spiritual lives, we compare our devotion to others. We quietly keep score. And before long, our focus shifts away from Christ and onto ourselves. Ash Wednesday dismantles that parade of righteousness. The ashes remind us that no matter how impressive our works may appear, they cannot save us. No matter how disciplined our prayer life, we still die. No matter how generous our giving, we still return to dust. All of our striving, all of our effort, all of our accomplishments, they cannot overcome sin and death. We need something, someone beyond ourselves. And that is precisely what God gives, His Son for us. The love of God is not a formula to be solved. It's not a theory to be mastered. It's not a concept to be explained. It is a mystery beyond all thought and fantasy. The more deeply we explore it, the more we realize how vast it truly is. The love of God doesn't operate according to fairness or to logic. It moves towards sinners. It embraces the unworthy. It rescues the lost. The series hymn captures this beautifully. God, the Son of God, takes on our mortal form for us. He doesn't remain distant. He doesn't send an angel. He does not rescue us from afar. He comes himself. He enters our dust. He assumes our flesh. He saves our life. He walks our roads. He bears our sorrow. He carries our sin. He dies our death. All of it for us. This is what sets Christianity apart. Every other religion ultimately points inward, asking what we must do to reach God. Christianity points outward and upward, proclaiming what God has done for us, what God has done to reach us. Jesus doesn't come to show us the way. He is the way. He does not come merely to teach. He comes to save. And what does he save us from? Well, not inconvenience, that's for sure. Not discomfort. Not embarrassment. He saves us from sin, from death, from the devil. He saves us from the judgment that we deserve. He rescues us from eternal separation from God. He doesn't merely sympathize with our weakness. He enters into it. He does not merely observe our suffering from afar. He bears it. And he doesn't merely condemn our sin. He carries it to the cross. So today we begin this holy season and this solemn call to repent. Repentance is not self-pity. It's not shame. It's not despair. It is honest confession and confident trust. It's turning away from sin and turning toward Christ. The ashes on your forehead are not a badge of devotion. They are a confession. I am a sinner. I deserve death. I need mercy. And you'll soon notice how stubborn ashes are. You can wipe them, but they smear. They linger. They stain. In the same way, the harder we try to erase our sins by our own effort, the more deeply they seem to cling. We cover one failure with another. We hide guilt behind excuses. We silence conscience with distraction. And the stain of sin spreads. But God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't leave us in our dust. He sends His Son for us. At the cross, Jesus bears every stain, every regret, every hidden failure, every shameful memory, every broken promise. He carries them into death for us. In exchange, He gives forgiveness, life, and peace. This is what theologians call the great exchange. Our sin for His righteousness, our death for His life, our dust for His glory. This is the very meaning of for us. Everything Jesus does, His baptism, His fasting, His temptation, His teaching, His miracles, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, He does for us. And today that gift becomes personal. Here at the altar, Christ does not give us a symbol or a reminder. He gives us Himself in bread and wine. He gives us His true body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Here the mystery of God's love becomes tangible. You hold it, you taste it, you receive it. The same Savior who once lay in the dust of the grave now places Himself into your hands, all for us. So today, as you bear the ashes, do not despair. Rejoice, for the ashes remind you that you are not only of death, but of resurrection. They remind you not only of sin, but of forgiveness. They remind you not only of weakness, but of grace. They remind you not only of dust, but of life everlasting. O love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy. God has taken on our mortal form for us. He has lived, suffered, died, and risen for us. And now He offers His body and blood for us. This is the gospel. This is the hope. This is the promise that carries us all through Lent and beyond, all the way to Easter morning. All of it for us. Amen.